So I believe we're up to Hakdama Yud Beis. What we've accomplished so far, Baruch Hashem, to this point, is that, at least in a very general way, we've discussed all the spheres. And now that we've discussed all the spheres, so the Mechaber here is taking us to Hakdama Yud Beis, which discusses the traveling of the Shefa. So I would say that this Hakdama is not as important as the previous one. The second one, which we'll do today, Mitzvah Shem, will be slightly more important. The idea behind this Hakdama, as it's called, Kol HaNachalim Holchem El Hayam, is that it describes to us the traveling of the Shefa. And as Shefa travels Milamala Lamata, which of course we know that it does, when it comes from Hashem Yisbarach, which is the Makor. So there's a Hishtalshlus. There's the way, there's the Oifen that it travels. And that's going to have code words, as we're going to explain here. So therefore, he titles this Hakdama Kol HaNechalim Holchem Al Hayam, which is, of course, based on a Pasuk in the beginning of Koheles, which means that all of the Nechalim, all the different brooks, all the different rivers and streams, in the end, they all make its way towards the Yam. So he writes, Or HaShefa HaNimshecha Mimeraimim Derech HaDal Reilamas. We spoke about the Sphiros, we spoke about the Al Reilamas, and we spoke about the hierarchy, that there's an Atzilas, Tabriya, Tiyatsira, Tasiya, and we exist in the lowest of all the Reilamas, which is what's called the Tachtis HaSiya, the lowest part of HaSiya. So he explains that it travels through the Dalal Olamos, which is Nimshla Lamayim, that Shefa is compared to Mayim, Hayoridim Makom Gavoya Lamakom Namach, which goes from a high place to a low place. We just started that in Hakdama Yud Beis. V'lachein Achamisha Sugim Mekayim Shineshna B'Mayim. So therefore, the five places, types of places where there is Mayim, Sheheim Makor Mayon Nahar Nachal and Yam, are rhymes in Alahe Olamos. So it could be said that, as we spoke about, as we mentioned, the traveling of Shefa, since Shefa is compared to Mayim, and Mayim, the Gemara says, goes from high places to low places, so we can equate Shefa to Mayim. And Mayim has five types of circumstances, situations. Makor, Ma'ayon, Nahar, Nachal, Yom, which he says compares to the five Olamos, which can also be to the five Spheres. So we just started Hakdama Yud Beis. V'ol Zeh Oifen, and it works in the following way. So Aleph, so the first place that the water emerges is called Makor. The Makor is the source of the water. And he explains Makor is a Keser. Makor is Keser, which is the Makor L'chol Olamos, which is the Makor of all the worlds. So you wouldn't describe Makor Keser as being one of the four Olamos. We spoke about before, when we spoke about Spheres, how we said that the general way to divide up the Spheres is Chachma, Bina, Tiferes, Malchus. That's the case. So the Dalet Olamos, which is Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, Atzilus would correspond to Chachma. Higher than Atzilus, of course, we know that there is, which is the Olamos we spoke about before, in formation of Bria, formation of creation, which is Akudim, Nikudim, Brudim, and we're going back to the early beginnings of the world, but to our learning together. Akudim, Nikudim, Brudim, which are worlds in and of itself, which are worlds of creation, which are higher than Atzilus. Just to refresh our memory a little bit, we said Akudim, right, which is the place where the Kelim are all one. Nikudim is the place of the Shvira, where each of the Kelim are separate from each other. And then there was the Brudim, which is the making of Partufim, the coming together of the Kelim. And that world called Brudim becomes the world of Atzilus. So back to the page now. So Makor, which corresponds to Keser, would be, if we were Mechavin it according to an Olam, would be higher than the Olamas. And that's called Keser. Because Keser is the Makor of all the Olamas. That's the place from the Or Ein Sof comes from, the Makor of the Shefa. The Ein Lo Sof, Vishamadlubish Boho Or Ein Sof. So you would say that the Makor is the place from which the Or Ein Sof comes out of. Okay? And that's, of course, Ne'alam from us. We don't have any, we have no words, we have no levushim and osios to describe the makor from which the or comes from. And that's called makor. And that's, of course, why when the water first emerges into the world, so we don't see where the water comes from. If water comes from beneath the earth, so where from beneath the earth does the water come from? You can't point your finger and say, oh, this is where the water comes from. You only know that the water comes from the surface. And when the water starts to emerge from the surface, you can say, oh, look, water. But the makor from the water comes from the water which is beneath, with it inside the earth, we don't know what's going on over there. So that's called makor. And just like that makor is ne'alam, the keser is ne'alam. Beis. This is called mayon. Mayon is chachma. It's referring to spheres of Chachma. And again, Mayan is the spring from which the water emerges from. So why is that called Chachma? Because like we spoke about before, that Chachma is called the Tchilas Hayesh. Whereas Keser is called Ayin. Chachma is the Tchilas Hayesh. It's where we begin to see something. So therefore, the Mayan, which is the spring, which is where we see that the water becomes revealed, that's where Ayin meets Yesh. So, therefore, Mayan is describing the matzav of the water on the level of Chachma. Gimel, Nahar. Nahar is Bina. Like it says in the Zohar Kaddish, which is said before Tekiyas Shofar, he quotes it over here in Hakdama Aleph, if you're interested. The pasuk that the Zohar refers to is Kolmar Hashem, Be'eva HaNahar Yashvu HaVeseich Me'olam. So the Zohar says that the Nahar is called Me'olam. And Olam is always a remez to Bina. And he explains, based on the Zohar there, that Bina, as it follows Keser Chachma, Bina is considered to be the place that is Rachamim, but Dinim Misarimina, like we spoke about earlier, that it's the place that Dinim emerge from. So why Bina has a very interesting characteristic in that it's a sort of a mizug, it's a mixture between Din and Rachamim. But that's Nahar. So again, we have our Makar, which is where the water is sourced below the surface. Or even if it's falling from Shemayim, you can't explain from where, you can't see where the water is coming from. You know, then perhaps it comes from the clouds, but you can't point your finger and say, oh, this is the place where the water is created. Where is the water created? That's called Makar. That's Nela. So then there's the Mayon. So again, we're describing here water as it's emerging from beneath the surface. So Mayon is the Tchilas Hayeshus of the Mayon, which I can see, it can be seen with my eyes. And then when the water picks up and there's enough water, so then it becomes a nahar, which is a stream. Or I would say a nahar is stronger than a nachal. Nahar is like a river. That's called bina. And then from there, the nahar divides into many streams of water, which are called, that's a better word than streams, but that's nachal. So nachal is Tiferes. V'chol echad mi'ashish ha'ksavos hu nachal b'fnei atzmo. So as we know, that when you go from Keser to Chachma to Bina, and then from Bina, since, again, we're speaking here about Keser, so we're not speaking about Das. Right? That's how we said before, going back to when we spoke about Keser and Das, the klal is that there's always 10 Sirius and not 11. 10 Sirius and not 9. So when we speak about Keser, we don't speak about Das. Because the Keser is considered to be the primus of the Das. So again, so here we're speaking about Keser, and the Keser goes to a Chachma, and it goes to a Bina, it translates into a Makor, into a Mayan, into a Nachal, and then that river breaks off into many brooks, into many streams. So that's called Nachal. That's called Nachal. Nachal is like Tiferes. And it breaks off into what's called six Ksavos, right? You have, everything is pretty much consistent, it's down the middle, there's Keser, Chachma, Bina. Then when you come to the Vav, which is Tiferes, right? Of course we can explain these according to the Yud, and the Ked, and the Vav. So we know that Tiferes has six directions, which is why it's called Vav. So immediately you start to speak about different places. So as that river divides into different sections, the different streams, so that's called Nachal. And then finally the fifth one, which is called the Yam. And the Yam is the Malchus. And explains that the word Yam is Gematria 50, which is the letter Nun. And Nun is always, the Zohar says, the letter which refers to Malchus, Nun is the letter of Malchus, which is why David HaMelech doesn't mention the letter Nun in Ashrei. Right, we can explain this on a previous level. The Gemara says that the letter Nun is mentioned in Ashrei because Nun stands for Nefila. However, the letter Nun refers to Malchus, which is David HaMelech's letter because David represents the Malchus. And the reason why he doesn't mention it is because it's actually mentioned beremez. Because in the letter Mem, which precedes Nun, it says Malchuscha Malchus Kol Elamim, and Mem Shaltecha Bechol Davador. So he speaks about the Malchus, and then he skips over the letter Nun because Malchuscha Malchus is like a remez also to the letter Nun. Mem Shaltecha Bechol Davador. In fact, Malchuscha Malchus Kol, that word Kol is Gematria Nun, which is a remez even to the letter Nun. But since the Malchus is in a state of Nefila, like we spoke about before, we don't really speak about the field of the Malchus, but we spoke about the fact that the Malchus is less le migar meklum, that it has nothing of its own. So it's very appropriate that the letter Nun, which represents Malchus, doesn't have a mention. It's called the less le migar meklum. You don't mention the Nun because it has nothing of its own. Something which doesn't have nothing of its own, you don't mention it. So again, going back to this discussion, which is the Yam, which is the Malchus, that the Tevas Yam is Oyle Nun, and it's Negir Chamishim Shai Bina. So to say to me, what does Chamishim Shai Bina have to do with Malchus? So he explains, just like there are Chamishim Shaim in Bina, there are also Chamishim Shaim in the Malchus, although we don't speak about that often, but we usually refer to 50 as referring to Chamishim Shai Bina, which we spoke about earlier. So Kenish b'Malchus Chamishim Shaim ki ke'ima kibita, that the mother is like the daughter, like we spoke before, that Chachma Bina, Tiferes and Malchus is the nice Jewish family, that Chachma Bina is Abba v'Ima. The Vav and the Hey, which is Tiferes and Malchus, is the son and the daughter. So Bina and Malchus correspond to the mother and the daughter. And the daughter is like the mother. Just like the mother has 50 Sharm, this is the quality of an Akeva, because Nun is a feminine letter. So too, the Malchus, which is the daughter, also has 50 Sharm. It explains in the brackets here that Bina and Malchus, that Malchus is called Yam, and Bina is called Mi. The Achilik bin Bina leMalchus who? She Bina is called Mi, as the Pasuk says, Mizos, and the Zohar says, Ki Alma Tekaima L'Sheila, that Bina, and this is an idea in and of itself, which he explains in footnote Gimel here, if you're interested, that Bina is the place where you can begin to ask. You can begin to ask. So we spoke about before that the Keser is Nelam, you can't ask about the Keser. Right? It's completely Mufla. Chachma is already... Like, you start to see that there's something there, but it's not clear enough to be able to ask about it, to say, what is this? When something comes to Bina, it has a form. It takes on a form. When something comes to Bina and it takes on a form, you can say about that, what is this? Therefore, Bina is called Kaima L'Sha'ela. You can ask about it something. So therefore, Mi Zayis, the Zayis says, Mi, what is this? Who is this? It's a Mokum which is Kaima L'Sha'ela. That's called Bina. Ki Alma the Kaima L'Sha'ela. You can ask about it. Malchus, which is clearly Bezgalus, you can see it very clearly. So therefore, it's called Yam. So there's Mi, and there's Yam. Mi is always a reference to Bina, and Yam is always a reference to Malchus. Okay, so we have here, and this is a very, there's not so much to be most of here, other than the fact that he says here, in Sifkat and Beis towards the end, and he mentions it again in Sifkat and Dalit, and that is the Hemshech of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol hanachalim holchim al hayam, v'hayam inenu maleh. And the yam never gets filled. So it's a davar pele, that all streams of water that lead themselves to the yam, get the yam never becomes full. The yam always keeps to its borders, and it never overflows, really. And when it overflows, it becomes a big sakana, right? Of course. So what's the inyan of this in Pnimius? It quotes Noam Elimelech and it quotes the Dagamach and Fam, says as follows, and we're familiar with the Zisodas, that all Shefa runs to the Malchus, from higher places to lower places. Why is it Behayam Inenu Malay? Because the less Amigar Meklum, that's the quality of the Yam. The quality of the Malchus is that it has nothing of its own. It takes nothing for itself. What that means for us, Bederech Avoda, it's always nice to bring these inyan into Derech Avoda, is that when something takes for itself, it becomes a Yeshus. Means that it is something if it's taking for itself. When it's not taking for itself, it means that it's bottled. And allows the Shefa to go on to lower places, to go beyond itself. So the quality of a true Melech is that a Melech, a Yiddish Melech, is the less than Yigar Miklum. Because you have to understand that this process of Keser, to Chachma, to Bina, to Tiferes, to Malchus, which is called from the Makar, to the Mayan, to the Nar, to the Nacha, to the Yam, this process of Shefa, of transfer of Shefa, repeats itself in every island. So we could speak about this Bechlalius. We could say that higher than Atzilus is called the Makar, and then it goes to Atzilus, and then to Briya, and to Yitzi, and to Esi, which corresponds to these different stations of Maya. We know the Klal and Kedusha is that everything which happens in a broader level in Klalius also takes place in Pratius. Therefore, every Olam has this process, because 10 spheres are in every Olam, but they go through this process. Now, as soon as it comes to the bottom of an Olam, which is called Yam, it goes to the next Olam too. So as soon as Shefa goes to the Yam of Atzilus, let's say, it'll go down into the Keser of Bria, which is below it. So now, if the Yam of Atzilus was a taker, so then it would never make its way to Bria. So therefore, the quality of true Malchus and Kedusha is to recognize that although you may be a Makabel, you have to also have to see yourself as a nice and as a giver. And when you do that, you incorporate your Nekudas Elokos, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is essentially a giver, not a taker. So as much as a person becomes a Mashpia, he reveals his Elokos, his godliness. So therefore, the Yam, in its godly sense, although the Yam is always taking, it's the end of the system, the Yam is Einanu Male, because the quality of true Malchus is the less le migar mekla, is that it takes nothing of its own. That's the quality of true Malchus. So therefore, v'hayam inenu male. That's why the Yam never becomes full. Now how does that transfer and translate into a derech and avayda? What that means to say is as follows. And the Naim Elimelech, which he quotes here in Parashas Shmoy, says that a Jew should always feel that he's always beginning and he's not ending. The quality of Kedusha is that we're always beginning and we're never ending, which is why on Simchas Torah, which is considered to be the completion of an entire Seder beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul, making its way to Simchas Torah, as soon as we finish the Torah and we say, La'eni kol Yisrael, we begin once again Bereishis. We begin Bereishis again. We read Bereishis because what we're trying to demonstrate is that the Klal of Kedusha is that there's an Akuda Shel Ein Sof. The Shefa in Kedusha is always an Ein Sof type of a Shefa. So we want that at the end, when it comes to a person, that he receives that Shefa. If he's receiving a Shefa which is Ein Sof, he never feels like he's completely accomplished and that he has nothing more to do. We have to ask ourselves the following question. When we receive Shefa, when something comes our way, we have to ask ourselves, are we satisfied or are we not satisfied? Of course, there's a nekuda of being satisfied in Kedusha that you're mistapik b'mu'at. But at the end of the day, that's only true in Gashmius, not so much in Ruchnius. Because in Ruchnius, we want, and it's more near Gash, that the Shefa is called Ein Sof. Something which is Ein Sof, when you have it, you feel like it's not enough, and you want more of it. So therefore, if a person davens, and he feels like, at the end of his davening, that he's glad that he has it off his back, that he has it off his shoulders, so what that simit to a person is that he's chaser in being margish, the Or Ein Sof, which is in his avodah. If he feels like that after he davens, like he wishes he could daven more, that he's looking forward to mincha, that if he finishes mincha, he can't wait till ma'ariv, that means that he was standing in front of the Or Ein Sof, and the Shefa which came down to him, he's markish the Ein Sof of that, because something which is Ein Sof, if you're truly in touch with that, you're looking forward to the next time you can have it. So therefore, it should always be inherent in a person's avoda that it's a taiva de kedusha to feel that when you're learning Torah, that you're excited to learn more Torah. Because that means that you're in touch with the pnimius of that Shefa, which is the nekudas Or Ein Sof of what that is. That it's not wrapped up in so many levushim that you're not in contact with the mukher anymore, which is the nekudas Or Ein Sof of what that is.
Could that be for anything though? Like, isn't the concept of Ava, which probably comes from Chachma, like the idea that Ava's, you know, Ohev Kesef, Lodizba Kesef, like anything that you truly love, the way you can determine if you love that thing is you're insatiable.
Absolutely.
And you have to choose what that is, but that midah of connecting the dots.
That's right.
It's just the mechanism.
Absolutely. So there's always, kesef also comes from a very high makor. It's just that it has many, many levushim. Whereas Torah and Tefillah, it's essentially tahar, it's essentially kadosh. It shouldn't have those levushim. So a person has to choose for himself, well, what's going to be his nekudas Or Ein Sof? What's my chayim in my life? A person's chayim is judged by his ratzon, right? What is it that you want? Kesef means ratzon. What is it that you want? So of course, Chazal Darshan, Oyev Kesef, Lispa Kesef, is referring to Torah. If, unfortunately, a person, he sees his Oyev Kesef, Lispa Kesef, he touches that pasuk in his life, is referring to actual Kesef, So that means that his ratzon is in galus. That's a galus of his ratzon. That's why kesef is circular, because you can never have enough of it. Something which is circular is a davar she'ein lo sof. So we don't want that a person's kesef. He wants the Torah shebal peh to get pshat in that, which is a reference to Torah and Tefillah and all the other good things in Kedusha. So if a person's ratzon is in galus, then all he wants is an endless supply of money. But if he's in touch with the nekuda de Kedusha, that, which is the mitzvah halakia of the kesef, so then a person can also translate into davar shebal kedusha, which means to say, let's say, he wants an endless supply of money so he can support all the institutions of Torah. That comes from a very holy place. But a person has to ask himself, is my ratzon in galus or is it not in galus? But yes, there is a nekuda when it comes to kesef, which is a davar she'ein lo sof, because kesef also comes from a very high makar. Because kesef is considered to be that in the same way that the orient sof is what fuels all shefa in its pimyas, kesef is what fuels all dvarim in the gashmis world. Because if you look around the room, and you look around the world, you can buy everything. So therefore, money is considered to be the nekuda of Ein Sof, which is in charge, which represents, which is the pshimis behind every davar shebegashmis. And that's why it's a circular little dot. Because when we speak about Ein Sof, that's exactly what it is. It's a little dot, as if to show that it takes up no makom, but it's also circular, which shows that it has its Ein Lo Sof. Therefore, the universal language of money is a circular dot, which is that place which is like called Chachma, which is a Yud, which is like where Keser meets Chachma, which is like it's the beginning of where you can detect what's called the Ein Sof. It's just like money, you could buy everything, he who has the gold rules. So therefore, money is considered to be the Gashmis representation of a Davar, which is called Ein Sof, the Nekuda Ein Sof for the world. That's why people are crazy about money. But a person shouldn't be, unless he's created in this world, brought into this world to give tzedakah, that he should look to channel that ratzon to the place of Kedusha. And a siman of whether a person is healthy in his avodas Hashem is at the end, when he finishes, he says to himself, I want more of that. So a person can always feel by the end of his davening, the Ramban says this, that a person can always feel at the end of his learning, end of his davening, how matzliach it was in his davening, into how, what's his matzav after davening. If he's running out of shul, that means that he wasn't matzliach in davening. If he's filled with av and yira, that he feels like that was geshmak, I want more of that, that means that he has atzach in his davening. So there's ways that we can know whether we're being matzliach or not. This is also true if a person's giving a shir, let's say, and the people who are listening to the shir walk away saying, I want more of that. If they walk away saying, I want more of that, that means that the mashpi was doing something right, because he was giving them over, right? He's the one who's providing. He's providing the shefa. So if he's providing healthy shefa, a shefa which doesn't have levushim on it, that it's doing it lishma, and he's doing it for the right reasons, and people who walk away saying, I want more of that, because they're in touch with the nekuda Ein Sof in those words, that it's stripped of the levushim, so they're feeling something here which is a shtickle in itself. Oh, so they want more of that. So if there's that hamshech, that people are coming back, that means to say that the mashpi is giving over in a way that he's not giving it over, he's just taking the words which are coming from above, and he's sending it over to everybody else. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just a tzimur to transfer over a davar which is Ein Sof. So it's nicker in the makablim. It's nicker in the makablim. If the makablim come out feeling that they want more of that, that they don't have enough of that, that halavai, the shir shouldn't stop, so then that's really coming from a place which is Ein Lo Sof. So therefore, the quality in Kedusha, of course, is always what? That you should be margish the Ein Lo Sof. You should be margish Ein Lo Sof. That's why when we begin Sefer Bereishis, so we said that Sefer Devarim ends with the Misa of Moshe. And of course, the Gemara says Moshe Lomes. Right? Moshe never died. Right? That's essentially what the end of the Torah is about. That you have Misa, which is like the Yam of a person's life. That's the end, the culmination of a person's life. Yet we say that it doesn't stop. It has a new haschala. Chazal say Bereishis b'shvil Moshe. Bereishis is a reference to Moshe. Oh, Moshe's alive again. Moshe dies, and as soon as you start Bereishis, Moshe's alive. Because in Kedusha, nothing ever ends. Parenthetically, that's why when we read the first Aliyah in Simchas Torah, so I'll just add that Simchas Torah, the day of Simchas Torah, is also, just like there are 50 days, we're speaking about this whole idea of Yam, of course, the 50 days of Sfira, like the Torah says, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, refers to the Tkufa from Pesach to Shavuos. That's called Yam, right? That's called Mi. And when you travel all the way up to Shavuos, Shavuos is called Bina. That's the Amud Cheirus. That's when a person becomes free, Ein Cheirus Ala Torah. So the 50 days from the lowest, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is called Meitzar Yom, that's the end of the Yam, right? Which is why B'nai Yisrael emerged from Mitzrayim in something which is called Kriyas Yamsuf. So what is Kriyas Yamsuf? So Kriyas Yam Sof is a ha'ara of being in the Malchus, because the Yam is Malchus, and the Yam has a Gvul, right? So when you bring a ha'ara of Bina into the Yam, and you split the Yam, so that's like Bina made its way into the Yam. And they said, is that Kelim and Veyu? They're able to see Hashem Yisbarach, which means that there was a higher revelation of the Yam, which caused the Yam to split. So the splitting of the Yam represents, and that's happening, so left Mitzrayim, leaving Golas, is like there's an Akuda of Ein Sof, which was in the Skal of the Yam, which is called splitting the Yam. So in the same way that these 50 days from Pesach to Shavuos, is like going from the Malchus all the way to Bina, which is Shavuos, which is called Yovel. We mentioned before that Yovel is called Bina. And the 50th day, which is Shavuos, is like the 50th year, which is called Yovel, where everything goes free. That's the Alma de Chivusa. So there's a way in Kedusha to also say that's from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. Yeah, Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, not the simplest Torah. From Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, although we say that those are 40 days, it's really a way to say that it's 50 days. From Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is also called Bina. That's also called the Alma de Chivusa. Yom Kippur is called Bina. Because you could say that Aseres Yimei Tshuva is like 2 days. Each day of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is like 2 days. Because really the year doesn't end till Yom Kippur, yet it begins on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, since it's like the beginning and the end, it's the beginning of the new year, yet the year doesn't end until Yom Kippur, so each day is like 2 days. So Shana is like 2 days, which it is 2 days, but even day one, day two, day three, each day of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is considered to be like two. The reason why that is in Pinimius is because we know that a Bachor is not till Pishnai. A Bachor takes two portions. And since the first 10 days of the year are like the Bachor of the year, so therefore it's not till Pishnai. It takes two. So therefore, if that's the case, that means from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, not 40 days, 50 days. So in that way, this system of going from Pesach to Shavuos, which is 50 days, is also in Pinimius, the Mahalach from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. It's like 40 days, which is really 50 days. On Simchas Torah, there's also this Giloy of this Inyan of 50 that we spoke about before. That there's this Inyan, meaning that you come to the place of a Sof and you make it into an Ein Sof. So that's inherent, this Inyan, from what we're speaking about, that when reading the Torah on Parshas Bereishis, so we say, Yikabu hamayim l'makom echad, bring all the water to one place, v'seirah hayabasha, and the abasha was seen. So Chazal saying in the Medrash, this is a remez to Kriyas Yamsuf. Because although the Pasuk is saying that Hashem gathered all the water together, and by gathering all the water, it created the abasha surrounding it, so the Medrash understands, the Zohar understands as well, that it's a remez to Kriyas Yamsuf, because you could say that when Hashem gathers the water, v'seirah hayabasha, it's like the Torah says, b'yabasha v'sei chayam. It's not just around the water, but within the water. So why is the remez to Kriyas Yam Sof in Bereishis? Because like we spoke about before, and as soon as you come to an end, which is a gvul, which is a yam, you have to split the yam. Splitting the yam is like a remez to like the Ein Lo Sof, Megalo the Pnimius. So therefore, when you come to Bereishis, you read about that. Yikabu hamayim l'malka melcha v'seirah yabasha, because exactly what Simchas Torah is that when you come to a sof, you Megalo this Ein Lo Sof, you make a reishis, because a reishis and the sof when they come together. That's called a gilui of Ein Lo Sof. So like we spoke about before, when a person comes to the end of davening and he wants to begin davening again, so that's Nesgal and Akuda of Ein Lo Sof in his davening. Which is why, of course, when we come to the end of davening on Shabbos, we say Adon Olam. Why do you say Adon Olam? Adon Olam is the beginning of davening, not the end of davening. But you say Adon Olam at the end of davening because what you're demonstrating to Hashem Yisbaruch is that if I could start again, I would do it again. I would start Adon Olam again. When you come to the end, you're really at the beginning. As much as you think that you know, you're always beginning. That's the quality of Kedusha. Let's go on to the next Hakdama. What time does Shachar start?
55.
Okay. Let's see if we can do this. Hakdama Yigimel Dalid Yesodos. So I think we're pretty much familiar with this. Kol Abriya Kula V'chol Abriyim Merkavim Yidali Yesodos. Everything in creation is comprised of these four elements, which is Mayim, Eish, Ruach, and Afar, water, fire, wind, and earth, V'nikru, B'Roshay Tobos, Aleph, Reish, Mem, Ayin, which is called Arma. That's how you say that. Arma. V'chol Echad Me'ilu Dalid Yisoydis, Makor, Me'kayim, Atar, Me'es, Esfiris, V'dal, Oynamas, like we said before, these four categories of Chachma Bina Tiferes and Malchus will correspond, of course, to these four elements, which, as everything comes back to the Shem Havaya, which is Havaya. Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, Chachma Bina Tiferes Malchus, which encompasses all the spheres. So he explains. Shurish HaMayim is B'Chachma. Mayim corresponds to Chachma, which is the Yud. Ki Chachma hu Shurish Midas HaChesed, Shnishneh Mitzad Yamin. Mayim is analogous with Chesed, which is on the right side, which is the Yud Chachma. V'lechen HaMayim Atzmichim Kol Minei Taiva, Ki Ahava hu Midas HaChesed. So Mayim is associated with Taiva, because it causes everything to grow. Something which grows is because it has a taiva for something. So if a person is growing and has hatzlacha and whatever it is in the world, but let's just use a mashal of Torah. A person is matzliach in Torah because he has a taiva for Torah. Because he has a taiva. Taiva goes together with gadlus and hatzlacha. So that's mayim. Mayim causes everything to grow. Growth comes from taiva. So therefore, mayim and taiva are together. Speaking about, like we said before, yukavu hamayim yisrahi yabasha. If you take a look in Liv Yaschein, which is at the bottom, in Lamed, he quotes the Tiferes Shleima on that pasuk of Yikavu Hamayim Yisrei HaYabasha. He says Yabasha is the Osios Tishbi, which is a remez to Elyonavi. That Yikavu Hamayim L'makom Echad, when a person is, he gathers his taivas for one zach, which is to serve Hashem, Yikavu Hamayim L'makom Echad, that he gathers all of his taivas, that his taivas are not in Golas, that he gathers his taivas and he channels them towards Hashem's Achdus, to one thing, which is Hashem, then V'seyah HaYavasha, then Tishbi will come, then Elyonavi will come. Just parenthetically, so this is, like we mentioned before, this is a remez to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is Yikavu HaMayim V'seyah HaYavasha. So why is Kriyas Yamsuf associated with splitting the sea? So over Pesach, we had mentioned this word from the Kli Yakar, but the Kli Yakar says, based on Chazal, Nas Mipnei Yas, that the Yamsuf split when it saw the Aron of Yosef. Why does the Yamsuf split when it sees the Aron of Yosef? So Chazal say that since Yosef was Vayonas, Vayetzei Achutza, that he fled from the Nisayon of Eishes Potiphar, so too, when the Yam saw the coffin of Yosef, it fled from the coffin of Yosef. So what's the connection? So the Kli Yakar and the other Mefarshim explain that Yam is Taiva. And since Yosef, when he ran from Eishes Potiphar, he broke his Taiva, so too, when the Yamsuf saw Yosef, so it broke its Taiva. The Shviras Hayam is called breaking the taiva. And they were able to enter into the Yamsuf, the Chos of Yosef, who was Shoiver Yam, that he broke his taiva. That's what we explained, that the Torah says about Yosef, who ha-mashbir. Mashbir means that Yosef is the provider in Mitzrayim, but mashbir also means that he's the breaker. He breaks the bread. Why is he the breaker? Because he broke his taiva. That's called Shavar Yam, right? The word mashbir is the letters Shavar Yam, that he broke the Yam. It means that he was responsible for Kriyas Yamsuf, that's called Shavar Yam, but also he broke his Taiva, which is called Yam. Right? Yam is Taiva, which is Mayim. That's also why when you enter into Shabbos, into the Shabbos, you quote that pasuk, you say, Adiri Mishbir Yam. Right? As soon as you enter into Shabbos, you speak about Shviras Hayam, which is called Kriyas Yamsuf. Like you're entering into a new dimension when you enter into Shabbos. Say, Hashem Malach Yus Lavesh. Right? It's called Shavar Yam. That's like when on Rosh Hashanah you blow tkiyus, which are called Sharim, you're entering into a new year. Shavar Yam. You have to break the Malchus of the end of the year, which is called the end, which is the Malchus, the last one. Shavar Yam means that you have to break into it, enter into a new dimension. That's called Kriyas Yamsuf, is always entering into a new dimension. We spoke about it on Pesach. At the end of every Olam of Asiya, Yetziya, Bria, you always mention Kriyas Yamsuf. It's very interesting. Before you enter into Shemon Esrei, you say Malchus Haruvonecha. Right? You speak about Kriyas Yamsuf. At the end of the Olam of Yitziru, you say Az Yashir. Right? Before you enter into a new dimension, you mention Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf means that when you come to an end, there's a new beginning. When they come to the end of Mitzrayim, which is Meitzar Yam, new beginnings, Bnei Yisrael come out.
I wonder if you can say that the two major titles, if you will, in this world is the title of Tasef and the title of Nashim. And so the skula for Kriyas Hayam, right, is Zivugim, and it's Parnasa.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's a connection between your ability to be Shover the Yam,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, it connects to the real Shvirasim Taivas and why that's Hatzlacha. Is there a relationship to that?
Why Dafka to these two things?
Mean? Why is the Skula for, right, isn't wasn't that what it is?
Yes, as a Kriyas Yamsuf kasha zivugin kriyas yamsum, kasha parnasa kriyas yamsum.
So there's a connection between the yam and those two sort of core.
Right.
And that, I wonder if there's a relationship that, since that's all related to ki taiva, that when you're able to break your taiva, because Baruch gives you the hatzlacha.
Yeah. So just to talk about this, just parenthetically, it's a sugi in itself, but it goes as follows. That when it comes to kesef, when it comes to taivas nashim, those are not treifa taivas. It's not a treif taiva to have those things, because a person needs parnasa to live, and he needs a woman to procreate and have a family. So it's like a hetertik a taiva to have a taiva for kesef and to have a taiva for an isha. However, once you have enough of what you have, so that if you want more than that, so then it becomes a treifa taiva. So therefore, it's like a bechina ve'itzadas taibara. Like, you need it, it's essential, but you have to know how to call it an end to it when you have it. So therefore, this taiva is not considered to be a taiva which is a taiva ra. Let's say kavod, for example. Kavod is a taiva ra. There's no excuse for a person to want to have kavod, really. Because the kavod doesn't belong to you. Why do you need kavod? You need kavod for what? Of course, if you have kavod, you can do good things with it. The Chazon Ish says, I love kavod. Why do I love kavod? Because I can be mechabed other people. Like the Mishnah says, kol mechabed is abiyas, he's mechubad. Right? But you don't need kavod to exist. So kavod is, let's say, it's a treifa taiva. But for to have children and to be able to have kesef in order to live, so that's called chayim. Right? It's the taiva which is built into your life. It's built into your life. So such a taiva is a kosher taiva. So therefore, it's most difficult to break those taivas, because on the one hand, you need it, but you need to know how to say enough. How to say shakai, like die. This is enough of what I need. Like, it's in your world, so you can't completely be megarshit, because it makes its way into your life. You have to know how to have a little bit and to say enough. So since it's a taiva which is part of your chayim, like the pasuk says, I believe it's in Mishnah, it talks about a taivas chayim, like a taiva for life itself. It's associated with kriyas yamsav. Kriyas yamsav is like that. It says az yashir. Chazal say it's tchias hamesim. Why is it called tchias hamesim? Because it's essential to your life. When Bnei Yisrael were walking through the yamsav, it revealed the nekuda sachayim. But to reveal your nekuda sachayim, you have to know to have it, but to know how to stop it. That's called tchias, means to have a little bit hamesim, and to say enough of it. But you have to know how to draw. Like to bring together the element of chayim and misa together. Just to have just enough, which is called chayim, but anything more than that, than what you need, so you're into the realm of mavis. That's called tchias hameisim. So with these two things, you find that's niskala. That's why kriyas yamsuf is kasha lezavgan, it's also kasha leparnasa. Because a zivug is a matter of chayim, and parnasa is a matter of chayim. That's demonstrated to kriyas yamsuf, like we spoke about before. Yamsuf is like it's the beginning of the end. It's like it's the shore. It's the shore. It's the place where Chaim and Mavis meet. Chaim, which is like the Abasha, and the Yam, which is like Makom Misa, because you can't survive there. But anyways, that's just a little bit of this inyan of why Dafka these two things, because it relates to an inyan of Chaim. That Shira came from a place of Chaim. So that's Mayim corresponds to Chachma. Sharish ha'esh is in Bina. Esh is Bina. Ki esh moira al gvuros. Ubina hu sharish ha'gvuros. Bina is the sharish ha'gvura. Esh is considered to be gvura. So therefore, mayim and esh correspond to chachma and Bina. Sharish ha'ruach, gimel, is tiferes. So he gives the reason because Yaakov is called tiferes. And it says, Batechi Ruach Yaakov. Yaakov has a Ruach. There's other reasons why as well. Also, Tiferes is a lashon of his Sparus, which comes from Gaiva, which is Mishayresh HaRuach. Okay, these are not such awesome explanations of it. He does mention the Ruach as it refers to the Isa, the Saor Shabbat Isa, which is the Itzahara, that it's like dough. Okay, well, maybe we'll speak about Matzah in a second. Let's just finish this inyan. So therefore, you have Eish, Mayim, Esh, Ruach, Chachma, Bina, Tiferes. And now the Sharish of Ofer is in Malchus, as it says, V'nafshi ka'ofer lakotia, and Nefesh is considered to be Malchus. Okay, this is just like, not Ba'imek, he's not going Ba'imek, he's just bringing like Ramazim, as to like how we see this. U'bezetireh, she'ein shum dabar ba'olam sh'liya b'nitzos me'osis Hashem ha'vaya b'yisrael. So therefore, since everything in the world is comprised of these elements, these four elements, so therefore, the backbone to these elements is the Shem Havaya. And therefore, everything in the Bria corresponds to the Dal Yesodos, which is the Shem Havaya. So therefore, everything in the world gets its sustenance, its chias, from the Shem Havaya. So this idea of Eish, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar, which is Havaya, so every single person comes from a different Makar. So you have some person who comes from Eish, all the Neshamas come from the different spheres. So each person, depending on what sphere it comes from, will define his natural characteristics. So therefore, a person who comes from Eish, for example, or a person who comes from Mayim, let's take Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe comes from Mayim. The Shorish of Moshe is Mayim, because the Torah says, Kimin HaMayim Mishisihu. So the Torah says very clearly, Moshe comes from Mayim. So what's Mayim? Mayim is Chachma. And therefore, Moshe is called Chachma. We find that many times in the Zohar especially, Moshe is called Yesod Abba. Abba is Chachma, and Moshe is called the Yesod Abba. Why Yesod? Because Moshe is Mashpia. He brings down. Just like Mayim, Lisa said, goes from what? From up to down. That's the derech of Mayim. Whatever is on top travels below. That was exactly the role of Moshe in this world. His job in this world was what? To go up to Shemayim and to bring down the Torah. So Moshe's job in this world was to take Shefa, which is the Torah, to go up to Shemayim and to bring it down. So his Nisayan was what? His Nisayan was that he had to make himself Eish. Moshe essentially was Mayim. So the Sfarim say, for example, a person who's, let's say, why is a person afraid of fire? This person's afraid of heights. This person's afraid of water. Where does that come from? It depends on your Shayrit. If you come from Mayim, you'll be afraid of fire. If you come from fire, you'll be afraid of water. Right? If you come from one of these, you may be afraid of heights, which may be Ruach. Right? So every person, depending on his makar, will depend his fears. You can't explain why you're afraid of something. Just that's my mahos, because it depends on a person's shayr.
Isn't it Moshe's sin with Mayim?
That was Moshe's chait. Yeah, that was Moshe's chait was in his shayrish, which is Mayim, which is why he died from that, because it was
came
from his place. Yeah.
He started in Mayim.
Yeah.
In the Nile.
Yeah.
And he ended in Mayim.
Yeah. His whole life is Mayim.
He's also Av and Aviv.
Hmm.
He's also the greatest Navi,
Navi comes from Netzach and Hod, comes Nevuah, comes from what's called Netzach and Hod, and Moshe comes from Netzach. The sphere, HaPrati of Moshe is called Netzach, which is that Moshe is called Av and Navi, because all Nevuah comes from Netzach. Comes from Netzach. Just parenthetically, so Moshe's Nisayin in his life was to go up to Shemayim. Right? Every person has a Nisayin. Some people are very easy that they go up, some people have a hard time going down. So Moshe had to make himself into Eish to go up. That's why when the Malachim saw Moshe, they said, how did he get here? I mean, because he had to become a shtick Eish, like a Malach is called Eish, right? So Moshe had to make himself like a Malach to go up to Shemayim. He had to work very hard to make himself Eishtik. So the Sfarim say that Moshe is Gemashia Eish Lohet, that he's like a fireball, right? Moshe had to make himself Eish Lohet. That was his Nisayon, which is why with the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what did Hashem show Moshe by the Sneh? Showed him Eish, right? He showed him Eish, because Moshe is essentially Mayim. But Moshe had to complete himself by becoming Eish, because he had to go up. The Sneh was on Har Sinai. He would have to go up to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. He would need the Koyach of Eish. So Moshe was able to bring together Mayim and Eish in order to begin the process of Kabbalah Satayr. I'll just point out, if you take a look at the Svarno, in the beginning of Parashas Pinchas, he says Pinchas never died, because Pinchas is Elio. Why does something never die? So the Svarno explains that Misa comes from a machlokus between the Dalai Yesodos. That when there's a machlekes within a person's Dalai Yesodos, that comes Misa. When a person has Shlemus within his Dalai Yesodos, then he never dies. So the bracha that Hashem gave Moshe, gave Pinchas, was Brisi Shalom, I'm giving you Shalom. So the Sforno explains, Shalom from his Dalai Yesodos. When the Dalai Yesodos are one, when they're Be'emes, one and Shalom with each other, so then there's no Misa there. So that's the meaning of Elio. Elio no Meis, because he was Shalom with all the Dalai Yesodos. There's more to speak about this, but we didn't get to the matzah and the Pesach discussion, but here's the Yesodus of Arma.
We're talking about Ruach, we're not talking about wind, we're talking about air, right?
Air. Since the Ruach comes from six directions, so that's why Ruach corresponds to the Vav,
the
Tiferes. The air you breathe.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Day.
Right, right.
Is there the fact that water in a Mayan comes from the ground up and Shefa comes all the way down?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some kind of, does that mean anything? In that case, it's going up by a
mile of
the spring, right?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. That means that there's Shefa Milamala Lamata, and there's also Shefa Milamata Lamala. What we give back to Hashem is called, like, Milamata Lamala, what we give back. So, what you see in this description of the Makor to the Mayim, to the Nair, to the Nachal, to the Yam, is like this union of Shefa, which also goes Milamata Lamala. There's such an idea also.